cars, trucks, SUVs, and vans than the other Nissan dealers, you get more for your trade. Guaranteed. See dealer for full details.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. We're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free, get two free gifts and free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-613-7524. That's 1-800-613-7524.
GE Adora Series appliances in the new slate finish are now available exclusively at the Home Depot, where you can get rebates up to $300 now through January 30th.
This is the Big 550 KTRS, the Friday edition of the large morning show in the afternoon. I am Paul Harris, your 20% host, giving 100% of the effort. You can follow me on Twitter, at Paul Harris Show. You can also link to my page by going to the Paul Harris page of KTRS.com. This portion of the show each week is brought to you by the fine people at Auric. They've got 7 stores in the St. Louis area, all locally owned and operated. If you're looking for a vacuum cleaner, this is the company they go to. See what they offer by going to their website, auric.com. And now, here to talk about movies and club activity for the weekend, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Hipperson.
Oh, yes!
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you guys?
I'm doing just wonderfully.
Brilliant.
See anything good this week?
Well, that's tough to say because I've seen a few things, and one is definitely not good. The other is only going to be good for a certain audience.
Okay. Let's start with the not good one, because sometimes it's fun just to hear about a horrible, horrible movie.
Well, that's very easy. I've got it in, I guess you'd say, 5 words. Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters.
What?
Yes.
Wait a second. Hansel and Gretel, the old Grimm fairy tale?
There was only 4 words.
And.
There's an and in there.
I'm counting the and.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. This is the old Grimm fairy tale, Hansel and Gretel, the two kids that go into the forest and they follow the breadcrumbs and they end up in the witch's oven.
So far,
spoiler
true.
Alert.
So
sorry.
Far true.
I'm sorry. I didn't say spoiler alert.
Just going to put out there, maybe they survive and grow up and become a brother and sister fighting team to take down witches all across this fabled land.
Okay. No, really. What's the plot of the movie?
That is the plot.
No, it's not.
I think the plot is...
No, because that one doesn't get past the first meeting in Hollywood. Somebody comes in, pitches that, and the executive behind the desk says, get out.
Do they run into...
we are not doing Hansel and Gretel as people who grow up and hunt after witches. That's ridiculous.
I think somewhere along the line, somebody said, hey, Jeremy Renner, the star of this movie. Hey, Jeremy, look, man, you're doing great. You're gonna be doing that Bourne movie soon, and there's that Ghost Protocol thing. You probably forgot you signed this contract a while ago to do this Hansel and Gretel thing. I mean, he's trying his very best to work his way through this film, but it's just bad.
Now, I don't understand why a guy that this stuns me all the time when actors who are particularly good in movies very early on in their career. And Jeremy Renner was in The Town, Ben Affleck's second movie. He was in The Hurt Locker, which won for Best Picture of the Year, directed by Kathryn Bigelow.
Can I at least get out that I think in The Town he was playing the Tom Sizemore role from Heat?
You're correct.
Thank you.
You're correct. But he was very good in that role.
Oh, yeah, he did a great job.
And he's the new Bourne.
Yes.
Taking over the franchise from Matt Damon, and I thought he did an okay job there. I mean, I'm a big Matt Damon fan.
Kind of had a throwaway role in The Avengers, but he was still part of a giant, huge, mega blockbuster.
Yes. So how does he end up in trash like this?
Because every once in a while, you've got somebody on the Hollywood radar that is just brilliant, and then Hugh Jackman does Van Helsing. That's exactly the most perfect of perfect ways to explain this film. The only difference is this is an R-rated film. There is no PG-13 on this. The bummer is, you can even tell if you want, man. Go to YouTube, look at the trailer. I find it so awful when big giant productions have no problem saying, oh, yeah, there really are no witches. It's all CGI, and we really phoned in the CGI on this. I mean, it's just bad. And it's the same level, in my opinion, of the CGI they did for the vampires and Van Helsing. You get the same feel, the same wannabe gothic look, and it just comes up short. They even put in gags that are just lame. I mean, lamer than lame. And, of course, you have to suspend disbelief and forget what century you're in when they've got all the explosives and technology they do.
Is it fair to say that this is Jeremy Renner's paycheck film?
Now, were you saying that because Ben Affleck actually did a movie called Paycheck, which was a paycheck film?
Pretty good. Yeah. Actually, I didn't think Paycheck was his paycheck film. I think Geely was his paycheck film.
I think that was there are not enough funds in the account for that one. I mean, I think Geely, Paycheck was a paycheck movie. This is Jeremy Renner cashing in on his Hollywood wave.
He's been supporting actor for years.
And he's good as a supporting actor.
He was the lead in the new Bourne movie.
Now he did the Bourne movie, but now he can demand a big paycheck.
Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol, I thought was a brilliant movie, great action film. And when Tom Cruise was not on scene, Jeremy Renner was.
Yeah.
I didn't miss Tom Cruise.
I agree.
He held it together very well. And they did slide him in that role because just maybe Tom Cruise was going to say, nah, I'm done with the franchise, and they're setting up the next guy.
All right. Last week, you talked about Jessica Chastain's movie, Mama, which, you know, we were talking about in exactly this same vein. Here's a very talented woman who's been in, you know, Zero Dark Thirty and The Help and a couple of other movies she made.
Nominated.
She was had like four movies come out at the same time. She won a Golden Globe. She's nominated for an Academy Award. And then she's in this horror movie, Mama. And we kind of dissed it here last Friday. And then, boom, it opened up as the number one movie of the weekend.
Money talks. And I did say that scary movies are forgivable. Bad comedies are not.
Okay,
usually.
So Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, is it going to open number one this weekend?
There's a good chance that it will do decent. I think there's another film that has a better shot opening at number one just because it's very formulaic. It's a complete rip, but maybe there's a bunch of white trash Hoosiers that really want to see CGI witches getting blown apart with, you know, completely impractical effects.
0 to 10 scale, you give Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters?
A2.
Wow.
Ooh. Okay.
And I hope Jeremy Renner's listening. Shame on you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's good. All right. So
I'm pretty sure he seems like a pretty smart guy to me. I mean, I've never met him or interviewed him, but he seems like a pretty smart guy based on the other movies that he's chosen and his acting ability. He's got to know, right?
Oh, he's got to know. And I think right now he's realizing his agent's saying, look, you're young in the game still young in the game. Support the film long enough until they yank it from the box office, then walk away. Don't even worry about the DVD commentary.
Jeremy, you have to show up at the premiere.
Yes.
You don't have to stay for the premiere.
Exactly. Once the lights go out, nobody knows. It's all good. So there's two other movies. I'll do one real quick called Parker. Now, Parker is from a book series, same one that Payback, a very good Mel Gibson movie, is from. Parker is essentially a remake of Payback. Instead of the character being called Porter, which Mel Gibson was, now it's called Parker.
Was Payback directed by Ron Howard?
No,
that was Ransom with Mel Gibson.
That's correct.
What's Payback about?
Payback is the one where Mel Gibson is a thief and he gets double-crossed by his crew, shot, left for dead, wakes up. Alive, very angry, decides he wants back his cut of the score he got, you know, nixed out of. So all he wants is his money, 70
grand.
I hate
when that happens. I can't tell you how many times that exact situation has happened to me.
But the tagline for the movie was great because the tagline was, get ready to root for the bad guy.
Uh-huh.
And Mel Gibson played a bad guy.
Okay.
As Hollywood goes
but
forward.
With a heart of gold.
Maybe, because there is, of course, the ex-wife in the situation who he's not too keen to be nice to in that movie. Just going to put that one out there.
All right.
As Hollywood moved on, somebody said, ooh, wait a minute. Remember that movie Payback? Yeah, didn't Mel Gibson basically choke the director and say that his movie was terrible and he wanted to do his own version of it? Yeah, that kind of went down. Hey, let's do a director's cut of Payback and we'll call it the straight up edition. It is one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. I know that it's terrible. Everybody in screenplay school says never start your movie with voiceover. You know what? I could probably name a couple movies that are amazing and brilliant.
How about
start with voiceover?
How about every movie Morgan Freeman's ever been in?
There we go. Hey, how about Martin Scorsese? All right. How many voiceover movies are awesome?
I think Apocalypse Now starts
with. Look at that Platoon.
Yes.
Right. So Payback had Mel Gibson doing voiceover. Some people felt that was a lazy way to tell the people what was really going on. I thought it worked great because he did that really gravelly Mel Gibson kind of voice. You know, I've smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the voice he used. Get him to the gringo, or get the gringo. Just putting that out there. Good Diamond in the Rough movie. If you like Mel Gibson in Payback, Get the Gringo, just as good and just as awesome.
Okay, so now Parker is a remake of Payback?
Is it officially Payback? No, it's officially taken from the source material.
Because it's
novels.
The same story.
Yes.
Okay.
You have Jason Statham, the British Bruce Willis, with his guys. They do a deal. They decide to double-cross him. pull over on the side of the road, beat the heck out of him, shoot him a couple times, and leave him for dead. But he's not dead.
Of course not.
And he comes back, only instead of coming back to get the money from the score, he comes back to wait for their next score they're going to do and then rob the robbers who robbed him. He gets Jennifer Lopez to help him out just so we can have a scene with Jennifer Lopez.
Now, how is she in the movie?
She's okay, but it's close, very close to her performance in my favorite J-Lo movie, which is Out of Sight.
Oh, what a movie.
No, that movie is amazing.
Absolutely, and probably the only good thing I've ever liked her in.
I can't think of another J-Lo movie. I'm sorry. Anytime I'm scanning channels and TNT comes on and I see Selena, I want to shoot the TV. I really do.
Made in Manhattan, was that her?
The
Wedding Planner. All those.
They're throwaway rom-coms.
Monster-in-Law.
Yes. Yeah.
They're just Monster. That's just abysmal.
But in Out of Sight, which is a Steven Soderbergh movie, she's in there with George Clooney.
Yes.
And
Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle. Michael Keaton has a small role. Ving Rhames.
And Michael Keaton's role.
Yeah.
In that movie is the exact same role he plays, same character he plays in Jackie Brown.
Yes, exactly.
Which is awesome. Really
and
cool
Dennis character. Farina's in there as J-Lo's dad.
Which makes no sense, but
hey, they carry it off.
Well, I mean, I know. But I mean, if I look at, if I look at Farina, I'm not going to think he's got a J-Lo daughter. I mean, it's fine.
You know. That character that she played in that movie, Karen Sisko, FBI agent, then became a TV series starring Carla Gugino, who I absolutely love. Unfortunately, she's never been able to be in anything that lasted a really long time.
Right.
But she was almost as hot as J-Lo in that movie. And people nowadays may not look at J-Lo and think hot, but if you go back and you watch Out of Sight, the chemistry that she has with George Clooney is
awesome.
Remarkable.
Because he's a guy on the run, she's the marshal that's got to take him down. He's a fugitive, yeah. Right? And they decide just to pause their life to have one drink at a bar. The conversation, everything is just done in a perfect way. I forgive everything except I don't forgive the really bizarre white-looking lipstick she wears at the very end. It just bothers me.
Okay.
I know it's cold.
Well, also, you have to suspend disbelief that a woman who looks like she does would be attracted to a guy who looks like George Clooney. Yeah, I mean, come on.
I know.
Where's the realism in the movie?
And when it comes to Dennis Farina, I mean, how about the acting chops of playing the same character he plays in every single film he does? That's just brilliant. So Parker,
that's why you hire him.
Parker is rated R, and I would give this film a 5 out of 10 because Jason Statham is still the British Bruce Willis. I do dig the guy, but enough with the shirt thing. Taking off the shirt and doing all that stuff, I get it. Go back to Snatch, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, where the guy basically just
got
his shots.
Suit the whole time.
Yeah, it was awesome. And in the movie Snatch, still suit, trench coat, whatnot, there's a scene where he kind of pushes the people around, but we don't need the slow-mo parts where he rips the shirt off and he's fighting 20 guys at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't need that stuff.
I have enough of that in my home movies.
Parker would be a 5 out of 10 only because of Jason Statham. And then the third movie, I'm just going to go down the list of the people that are in this film. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Josh Duhamel, Sean William Scott, Elizabeth Banks, Kristen Bell, Gerard Butler, Justin Long, Dennis Quaid, Greg Kinnear, Odessa Ray, Kate Bosworth, Seth MacFarlane, Hugh Jackman, Kate Winslet, Anna Faris, Liev Schreiber, Emma Stone, Halle Berry, Johnny Knoxville, Richard Gere, Uma Thurman.
Well, is this like one of those, remember those That's Entertainment movies of the 70s that were clip jobs about the great movies of the past, and they had one on comedies and one on musicals and that sort of stuff? Is this like a 21st century That's Entertainment?
It's an all-original film. We're not looking at clips from anything in the past. We are watching multiple short stories that all get
interwoven.
They're all woven, interlaced, whatever. And the whole concept is that there are three kids trying to search the entire World Wide Web for the most banned film in motion picture history, movie 43. Somehow, these 12 films that we watch throughout movie 43 all connect to that. The reason why I said, when we're talking about good or bad movies this weekend, I could tell you this movie is funnier than anything I've seen in my entire life.
Wow.
I could also tell you that this movie could make you vomit.
Uh-oh.
I could say that this movie goes way, way beyond the line to the point where you can't even see the horizon in the terms of gross out versus funny.
Okay.
Every actor that I just named is involved in scenes where, even though they might not all be sharing the scene, you know they're all trying to one-up each other. The Hugh Jackman scene alone is, I think, worthy of an Academy Award just for the fact that you never, ever would imagine a guy like him will go as far as he does.
Okay. Now, when you say 12 different scenes, I'm starting to think it's like Kentucky Fried Movie.
Yes.
Or or one of those other movies like from the early to mid-70s.
At first, I thought of Four Rooms, where you had four stories, four directors, Tarantino, Rodriguez kind of threw that together. I was kind of thinking that because in this movie, they all do connect, very much like what you're referring to.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it's good, but I'm so afraid that, you know, people that are very conservative might see this movie. Maybe younger people, I mean, early 20s, first date, go to see. This is my warning to each and every guy out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're dating a girl who might be a bit, I don't know, squeamish, conservative, let's say you've gone out on three dates and you haven't even kissed her on the cheek,
mm-hmm.
do not take her to this movie. Because everything will be shut off, and you might not even be allowed to meet her ever again.
Mm-hmm.
It's just bad.
Gross, huh?
Yes.
Paul, okay. Would you say that Kentucky Fried Movie was a good movie?
You know, I haven't seen it in 30-plus years. At the time it came out, I was a teenager myself. So I'm sure it was hysterically funny to me because there was stuff in there that at the time would have been taboo in the movies. For instance, a woman's breasts or people smoking dope or silly humor. That was the essence of what that movie was. Not that there's anything wrong with any of that, but I wonder if I saw it today, if I go, oh, okay, I've seen that joke a million times.
Right. You got to factor in the dated thing too as well. I mean,
right.
I've seen Kentucky Fried Movie, and even like when I watched Airplane recently,
mm-hmm.
I know that if I could really try and put myself, you know, around the area of like airport and whatnot, and just really imagine seeing that movie for the first time in theaters, I would be on the floor laughing, busting a gut.
Mm-hmm.
It's why spoof movies really should never get a theatrical run. I think every spoof movie from here out should be a straight to DVD situation. Because it's not funny anymore. By the time it gets released on DVD, you forget what the gags are.
Yeah, but if you see it in the movie theater, you get to enjoy it with a whole bunch of other people who are laughing at the same time. And Airplane was certainly one of those. And also those parody movies that Charlie Sheen
and all
did.
That.
No. Hot Shots. Those were pretty funny.
I give credit to Hot Shots Part 2. I believe the actor, I'm so sorry he has passed, but I believe Richard Crenna, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know who I'm talking about.
Yes,
Murdoch?
From the Rambo movies.
Not Murdoch. Murdoch was the bad guy. Okay.
Yeah.
He basically played the same character in Hot Shots Part 2.
Right.
Okay, and did it very well. And I'll never forget laughing as hard as I did when they were running on the beach trying to escape, and they ran onto the set of American Gladiators and had to compete on their epic, you know, escape.
Right.
I thought that was very well done.
Yep.
You watch it now, and unless a younger guy or younger girl actually knows what old school American Gladiators was, or has maybe never seen a Rambo movie, they're screwed.
Yeah.
Even the first Hot Shots, it's all a parody of Top Gun and those type of movies.
But pretty funny. And John Cryer is very funny in that, along with Charlie Sheen, who later, of course, worked together on 2.5 Men.
Correct. This is like a big trivia thing, too. We're doing a lot of cool stuff here.
Harris Challenge is at 5. But movie 43 on the list of best movies of the year, it's not going to be anywhere near the top. But as far as movies that it's 11 p.m. at night and there's nothing else on, that's probably the perfect movie for that occasion.
Yeah, and I would just say right now, if you got a couple of bucks to blow and you're kind of like me, you can kind of swim in any ocean and just have a good time and just roll with it.
Yep.
It's definitely worth seeing when you look at your other comparisons for new films opening this weekend. So I think it's going to have a nice little life. I think word of mouth, and I hate to do this because I'm not really giving an opinion, but I kind of am. Word of mouth will either kill this film or make it the first cult film of 2013.
Really?
Well, word of mouth is going to do that. It's either going to make people go running away. Or this could be like when we talked about Project X, the most bootlegged film in, you know, movie history.
Right? Yeah.
This could be a Project X for a bunch of kids, let's face it, are below the age of 17 and cannot get into this movie for anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I will give this movie a 7 out of 10. If I was just talking to a small select group of people, I might say it's a 10 out of 10.
Hmm.
If I was hanging out with my mom, I would tell her it is a 0 out of 10.
Okay.
You follow where I'm going with that?
I got you.
I'm trying to appease everyone. In my world, this is 7 out of 10. It is actually a very funny movie. And it's great to see Sean William Scott funny again. I don't know if anybody remembers the last time Sean William Scott was funny or wasn't playing Stifler.
Yeah.
But it's good to see him be funny again.
Okay.
And Johnny Knoxville in small doses is brilliant.
All right. I'm putting Kentucky Fried Movie on my Netflix queue. Because, like I said, I haven't seen it in probably 30 years. And it was done before Airplane by the same guys. The Zucker Brothers.
Brothers.
And Abrams. And directed by John Landis, who did Animal House and
You know what's funny to me? John Landis, right? He goes all the way to, you know, Trading Places, Coming to America. I mean, Landis had a really, really good run.
The Thriller video.
Yep.
But then if you look at his IMDb list, it just starts falling short.
Mm-hmm.
I think somewhere around the time John Landis did Beverly Hills Cop 3, it just starts to trail off a bit.
Yeah.
So we talked about Nicole Kidman last time we were hanging out, going back and forth with To Die For.
Yeah.
Moulin Rouge got brought up. So I'm throwing out there, if this is for you, this is a complete opposite where I was in movie 43. There is, of course, something you could do tomorrow. It would be Moulin Rouge, the ballet. No joke, my friend. If you go to Two Hill Performing Arts Center on Saturday, tickets will cost you $35 to $55. They've got showings at 2 and 8 p.m. at the Two Hill Arts Center on University of Missouri, St. Louis campus. That's at Natural Bridge. It's interesting because ballets are pretty. And Moulin Rouge is all about, I mean, brothel? I mean, I was going to use another word, but I mean, really, a brothel sold snuggling. I mean, they're selling snuggle time with a bunch of guys who are probably just complete, you know, rude dudes, right? But it's a ballet now.
Yeah.
So it's a sweet brothel,
yep,
if you will. Not the best, what was that, Dolly Parton movie? Best Little Whorehouse in Texas?
Yes, with the late Charles Durning.
Very cool stuff. I'm sorry. I remember watching that when I was a kid, when I was homesick one day from school, and I thought I was watching like a real...
Because you saw the word whorehouse in there, and you were a kid.
Yes!
You went, woohoo!
And I could not have been more... I was more sick afterwards. Yeah. I think I was... I didn't want to go to school for a couple of days. All right, and now last but not least...
Hold on.
Hold your applause, please.
Before you get into that, I have a DVD to recommend.
Okay.
Because this was probably the last movie I showed my daughter before she went back to school during her winter break. It's the Jon Favreau, Vince Vaughn movie, Swingers.
And your daughter is how old?
She's 18.
Okay.
Swingers is a movie about guys. It's a guy's movie. And I wasn't sure that she'd be into it because sometimes she goes for these, you know, 27 dresses kind of Katherine Heigl kind of movies.
Wow, she takes you to those too?
No, she doesn't take me. She has it on DVD.
Okay.
But I've shown her all sorts of other guy kind of movies that she's gotten into. And I thought there are some scenes in Swingers that it doesn't matter what gender you are. They're just going to be funny.
The answering machine scene.
The answering machine scene is one of the most painful things you'll see in a movie in your entire life. And she was cringing at that scene so much. I could see her actually withdrawing into the couch cushions.
You know the best part?
In the pain of that.
When you see people laughing really hard at that scene, you know they've done the same thing.
Yes, they can completely relate.
Yes, I laughed really hard at that scene.
And she laughed at the scenes of the guys getting in the car in Los Angeles, and they're all like, Vegas, Vegas, we're going to Vegas, And then the next scene is them just driving to Vegas, bored. It's going to take them hours to get there. So she got that sort of stuff, and she especially liked the ending where, spoiler alert, Jon Favreau and Heather Graham do some swing dancing.
Which is Heather Graham off the radar.
Yeah, before Boogie Nights and before other things. Very, very cute. And
Vince
Vaughn, funny.
Thin and funny.
Well, it was the early Vince Vaughn. I don't think I'd seen him in anything before that, or Favreau for that matter. Maybe he had been in Rudy at that point.
Yes, he had.
Okay. But I think that Swingers is one of those movies that acquired more status after it went to DVD. You know, like Shawshank Redemption was not a hit when it first came out, but then it got on DVD and got on TNT on television and was shown a million times, and now everybody loves Shawshank Redemption. I think Swingers is one of those movies that maybe not everybody loves, but its reputation was certainly enhanced by the fact that people were watching it on DVD and cable.
The only story I got about Swingers is, honestly, I didn't have any game at all as a guy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel I had any game at all.
Oh, Joe, you are so money.
Hey, man.
I can't believe that. You know what? You're so money, you know how money you are.
All I'm going to put out there is, I'm not joking when I say, I was over at my friend Matt Kropel's house. We brought over the only PlayStation me and my friends owned. We were all excited. That PlayStation never got plugged in. Instead, we watched Swingers, and then we watched it again.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning, we all woke up. We watched it again. After that, it was like a light just came on in my head. I didn't have to impersonate anybody or act like anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I felt a lot more confident about just being me.
You didn't start acting like Vince Vaughn then.
I did buy a bunch of bowling shirts and things like that. No, I really did. And I got a wallet chain that went down to my knee.
Oh, no, you didn't.
I swear I did. I'm not even lying. I went through a phase of wife beater type shirts with the open bowling style lounge shirts.
Oh, not a good look.
Nice suit pants. I did. I mean, come on. Any guy in that era that did, it was a couple months. No big deal. I still have them. Not going to wear them. I'll wear them next Friday, man.
No, please don't. That's okay. Perfectly right. Okay with me. So Swingers is one I would recommend for your DVD queue.
Oh, definitely. If you've never seen Swingers, it's definitely worth it. Great soundtrack, too.
Yeah.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy should be forever worshiping the soundtrack choosers for that film. Yeah. Without that movie, there would have never been anybody.
Because of that movie that I went to see them a few years ago at the Two Hill.
And fun.
At UMSL. What a great band.
Yeah, a good, fun show where you're never bored.
How come they never come back through here anymore? I don't hear about them anyway.
And we need to get you on the air more, talking about them more.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll be the beacon. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Okay.
Just, hey, your money too, man.
Oh,
you are.
Thanks.
You really are.
Thanks.
All right. And last, but not least. All right. Now, you did say Swingers. I'm going to throw this out there. Made.
The one they did after that?
The faux sequel, not really.
Not nearly as good.
Okay.
Not even in the ballpark.
All right. Just wanted to ask. Just curious. All right. Here's a couple of concerts, and we will play our fun concert game. Tonight, Friday, The Brothers. That is a tribute to the Allman Brothers. It will be at the pageant tonight. Acorns to Oaks over at Plush. Mac Lethal at 2720 Cherokee. Franco Hill playing over at Atomic Cowboy. The Raging Nathans will be on stage at Lemons. Scene of Irony is at the Way Out Club. Tara Lynn Schmidigans is over at Blueberry Hill. The Penniless Prophets playing Fubar. Makeshift Prodigy over at the Firebird. Esteban at the Heavy Anchor. The Sugar Thieves playing at BB's Jazz Blues and Soups. The Punch Brothers will be playing at the Sheldon. On Saturday night, Railroad Earth will be over at the Pageant. Send Money and Seymour Awesome are playing at 2720 Cherokee. Coward's Way Out at Cusimano's. Matthias and the Pirates over at Blank Space. Jeremiah Johnson on stage at Hammerstone's. Soul Glow, spelled just like Soul Glow from Coming to America, playing the Broadway Oyster Bar. The Dirty Pigeons at the Heavy Anchor. The Winchester at Lemons. The Funky Butt Brass Band at the Gramophone. Dance Floor Riot, Blueberry Hill. Inspect the Deck over at Fubar, D-E-C-K. Fat Tramp Food Stamp playing over at the Firebird. And one night only, no joke, Josh might get excited. I am, because I'm going. Sponge at Cicero's playing Rotting Pinata in its entirety.
Mm.
Awesome for the grunge kids. Now we play a little game. Josh, it's a lot of fun. I can't wait to see you participate or hear you participate. I'm going to give you five concerts. One is not real. Four are. Are we ready?
Yes.
Here we go. The Holy Hand Grenades, Friday night at the Way Out Club. Gramps the Vamp at the Blank Space on Saturday. Spruce Springsteen playing at Lemons on Saturday. Lipstick Homicide, Friday at Lemons. And the Lumpy Princess Space Diaries, Saturday at Fubar.
All right, we're going to let traffic guy Tim Weiland go first here.
Since he couldn't say it very well, you could tell me what it is again. Lumpy what?
The Lumpy Space Princess Diaries.
Okay, that's who I'm picking, yeah.
All right, Josh?
I'm going to go with Gramps the Vamp.
All right. I'm going to go with, it's a toss-up between Lipstick Homicide and Holy Hand Grenades. I just think Lipstick Homicide is too good a name, and if there isn't a band with that name, there damn well ought to be. So I'm going to go with Holy Hand Grenades.
Okay, very good, very good. I should not have stuttered, or Tim Weiland would not have won. The winning band would be the fake band, the Lumpy Space Princess Diaries. That is not a real name, but it could be, and it could be yours.
Nice going.
So I'm one for five with you.
Tim Weiland, who's never gotten one right before, congratulations.
The reference comes from a TV show that my kids absolutely love called Adventure Time, where they have a friend named Lumpy Space Princess.
Okay.
Princess Diaries.
I was told that Big Bad Voodoo Daddy's playing next Thursday.
Where?
Gotta be kidding.
I didn't get where. He's just said somewhere in St. Louis.
Tell you what, when I do my New Release Tuesday segment, I'll try and slide that one in. Or, of course, I'm sure these guys can find out. Maybe
We will find out during this upcoming commercial break.
All right, that's it. I'm out. I will talk to you guys later on. I'm Joe Hipperson for the Big 550 KTRS Hip on Entertainment.
See you, Joe.
Brought to you by Auric, with 7 stores in the St. Louis area, all locally owned and operated. And all their stuff is on their website, auric.com. This is the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon, Friday edition, with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.
Well, the problem on Highway 170 continues at Forest Park Parkway, but now it's affecting both directions. They have the left lane shut down each direction. They're doing maintenance on a median wall that was messed up in an earlier crash. So Northbound 170 at Forest Park Parkway is backed up to 64. Southbound 170, you are jammed back now to Olive. On westbound 64, it is bumper to bumper from Kings Highway through McCausland, 270 through Mason, a little bit slow from the Spirit Overpass to the Broom Bridge. Westbound 70, stop and go from 270 to the Blanchette Bridge, and eastbound 270 now. You're looking heavy midway between McDonald and Lindbergh to New Florissant. This traffic report is brought to you by Allstate. Allstate is so confident in their auto claim service, it's guaranteed. The claim satisfaction guarantee, only from Allstate. If you'd like to learn more, talk to a St. Louis Allstate agent today. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Desk, I'm Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Is there anything better than sitting on your deck enjoying a nice iced tea and a burger? First, you need the deck. How's your deck holding up? Time for a new one? Time to redo the one you're sitting on? It's time to call Outdoor Living. Outdoor Living helped me with my deck, and I cannot tell you how thrilled I am. Outdoor Living, Inc. not only showed me all the different options, whether it's PVC, composite, vinyl wrapped, wood, but Outdoor Living has the largest showroom in St. Louis, 2,000 square feet of decking, so I figured out exactly what I wanted from the largest showroom in town. Fencing, decking, lights, pergolas, three-season, two-season porches, low maintenance. Check out their website, OutdoorLivingInc.com. That's OutdoorLivingInc.com. They'll build you the deck of your dreams, or they'll sell you the material, and you can build it yourself. 314-966-DECK or OutdoorLivingInc.com. You need a deck, a fence, lights, pergolas, whatever it is. You need an outdoor expert. You need OutdoorLivingInc.com.
It's an incredible vacation at an outstanding value from Brentwood Travel. That's what you'll find at St. Louis's largest cruise show, the 23rd Annual Cruise Expo. Sponsored by Brentwood Travel on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, January 25th through the 27th at West County Center. It's no secret that right now is the time to get incredibly low prices on all types of cruises anywhere in the world. With 17 of the world's top cruise lines represented in one big show, you won't find a better opportunity to get a fantastic deal on the vacation of a lifetime. And along with these low prices, you'll find a variety of bonuses like cabin upgrades, onboard gratuities, free shore excursions, cruise and air discounts, Macy's gift cards, or even free airport parking at Park Express. And someone will win a free Royal Caribbean cruise just for registering. It all starts at Brentwood Travel's Cruise Expo, January 25th through the 27th at West County Center, I-270 and Manchester Road. Details at BrentwoodTravel.com. Some offers are for selected departures only. Restrictions apply on all gifts and promotions.
It's the dead of winter, and it's a great time to convert your old wood-burning dirty fireplace to a convenient, low-maintenance gas log. How often do you burn wood in your fireplace? Almost never, right? Well, my home fire, which is a gas log, is on almost every single day. It's on for an hour. It's on for 2 hours. Easy on, easy off, remote controls available, all at St. Louis Home Fires. They'll heat up, they're easy, they're reliable, and they're cheaper than your furnace. Old brass doors. Doors to have you down? You can change them out with 40 different finishes. Custom glass doors courtesy of St. Louis Home Fires. Whether it's a wood-burning stove, wood-burning inserts, tool sets, freestanding screens, whatever you need, St. Louis Home Fires has it. Plus, for all of your barbecue needs, that's right, St. Louis Home Fires as well. 1/2 mile west of 141 on Manchester in front of Target. St. Louis Home Fires. For those gas inserts and everything else barbecue, it's St. Louis Home Fires.
Warning. If you've recently declared bankruptcy, you're going to want to change the station. Because there's an alternative to bankruptcy, and it's faster than you'd ever think possible. But if you've already declared bankruptcy and have missed this opportunity, you'll want to change the station now. Here it is. Right now, the company that has resolved more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. is available to settle your debt, too. You may reduce your debt with one low monthly program payment. If you call right now, Freedom Debt Relief will show you how low your monthly program payment could be for free. Call now. 1-800-300-5798. That's 1-800-300-5798. If you're struggling with debt, this could be your answer. And the bigger your debt, the more money you could save. To find out for free how much of your hard-earned money Freedom Debt Relief could help you save, call now. 1-800-300-5798. 1-800-300-5798. 1-800-300-5798.
You just can't beat G&W Meat.
That's G&W Bavarian Style Sausage Company, a family-owned St. Louis tradition since 1965. Having a party for the big game. Serve only the best brats to your guests from G&W Meat. G&W has over 30 varieties of sausage made right on site in South City. And with Mardi Gras coming up, there's nothing like andouille from G&W Meat. Visit the shop Tuesday through Saturday at 4828 Parker Avenue, just off South Kings Highway. Or go to gwsausage.com. You can't beat G&W Meat.
In every pet shelter, there are countless stories of hope. There's Josh and his cat, Bernard.
He was found living by a dumpster, so I guess anything's a step up from that.
There's Lori and her dog, Ellie.
It's thrilling to save a life, to know that you're maybe their last chance and their only hope for a good life.
Hope. That's what brought together Purina One Brand Pet Foods and animal welfare organizations to form the One Hope Network, a movement dedicated to increasing pet adoptions. Find out more by visiting onehope.org.
Hi, this is Steve Light.
And this is Greg Gonzalez with the Retirement Income Consulting Group.
Join us every Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. for Retire Worry Free with Steve and Greg, where we discuss your retirement income and investment concerns.
That's every Sunday at 2 p.m. on the Big 550 KTRS.
This is the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, your Friday afternoon host. Tim and Josh are here with me. We'll have the Harris Challenge next hour, along with Mike Evans and a batch of knuckleheads in the news. Frank and Ian and Dan will be back here Monday. They will start the show at 3 o'clock, and the stories about Jamaica should end right about 6 o'clock, I would expect. I mean, you've gone away a week. You should be able to get an entire show out of that.
You think.
And I'm guessing they will. And I'm guessing at least one story will involve alcohol and Dan Strauss. I'm just guessing. I'm just guessing.
Why would you guess that? Dan's the one that doesn't drink.
It doesn't matter. All right, I'll change it.
It's Ian.
But Ian knows his way around a bar.
Yeah, that's true. He does.
You know, Dan will say, I told him I wanted a virgin Bloody Mary, and, you know, I had 11 of them, and then I started feeling something.
Yeah.
That'll be the story. And then there'll be some story also involving either Dan or Frank, involving a lack of sunscreen at some point during the week. That's my prediction.
I can hear it.
Somebody's going to get burned.
You'll find out Monday afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. Caller mentioned that Big Bad Voodoo Daddy was coming to town next week. I promised you during the commercial break I'd find out where. They're going to be at Lumiere Place next Thursday night at 8 o'clock. Normally, I would urge everyone to go see them, but because it's general admission seating and I'm going to go, I would prefer that no one else go.
Right.
8 o'clock at Lumiere next week. If you've never seen them, they are one heck of an entertaining band. Anybody see Jimmy Kimmel last night? I know you didn't, Tim, because you were up this morning at 4 o'clock in
right.
traffic for the McGraw show.
I read the highlights. I didn't actually get to see it, though.
I DVR'd it and watched it this morning. Jimmy Kimmel, since he came on ABC, most nights he ended the show by saying, and my apologies to Matt Damon, we didn't have time for you tonight. Sorry, Matt Damon, we didn't have time for you tonight. And, of course, Matt Damon was never booked as a guest. It was just a running joke. But yesterday, the premise of the show was that Matt Damon duct-taped Jimmy to his chair, put a gag in his mouth, not like the priest from Springfield. It's a completely different thing. No handcuffs were involved. And Matt Damon took over the show. And Jimmy had to sit in his chair, you know, in the... You saw him in the shot, in the back, like behind him, but sitting there, didn't crack a smile the whole time, acting kind of miserable, while Matt Damon hosted the show.
No kidding.
And... Jimmy has a security guard named Guillermo who stands by the door, a Latino guy who is kind of his sidekick, and Matt Damon fired him and brought in his own Latino sidekick, Andy Garcia.
Oh.
And Kimmel has a band leader who's his lifelong friend named Cleto. And Matt Damon fired him and brought in Sheryl Crow.
Oh, funny.
And the whole premise of the show was, tonight we're going to have so many stars that Jimmy could never get as guests. And Matt Damon said, you know, normally the host would come up here and would do a monologue, but I'm not a stand-up comedian, so I wonder if we can get one. And then he used Siri to call and ask, are there any world-class comedians in the neighborhood?
Uh-oh.
And the door opens and Robin Williams walks in.
Oh, my gosh.
And does a couple of minutes of stand-up there and leaves. You know, now the crowd's going crazy. And then Matt Damon's reading off cue cards. And now the cue cards are really nice about Jimmy Kimmel. And Matt Damon goes, What's going on? Who is the cue card? And it's Ben Affleck. And he's saying, I'm sorry, Matt. I love you as a brother, but I also love Jimmy, and I can't do this to him. And he finally leaves. And then they go to commercial, and they come back, and Matt Damon is saying, you know, I had to have some guests on here, and I thought I would try to get people who Jimmy Kimmel could never get if he tried. So tonight we have at least one person who's never been on this show before, and he introduces Nicole Kidman.
Oh, my God!
Never been on the show?
Never been on the show. And she talks to Matt for like 90 seconds or 2 minutes. And he says to her, yeah, then name somebody who you've never worked with who you'd love to work with in a movie. And she says, oh, I don't know. I'd love to work with Gary Oldman. And Matt Damon goes, ladies and gentlemen, Gary Oldman!
Oh, my gosh.
And he comes out and he asks Gary Oldman, who would you like to work with? Oh, I don't know. There's that actress, Amy Adams. Ladies and gentlemen, Amy Adams! And then they go out to the street, and now Andy Garcia as Guillermo is out in the street, and they're talking about how it's Hollywood. You know, you could throw a rock and hit a star in Hollywood, and Andy Garcia has a rock, and he throws it and hits Demi Moore. Let's bring her in!
Oh, man.
And somebody else who was out there, I can't remember, brought them in as well. And then, for the piece de resistance, after all those stars
finally
left, yes, he brings out Jimmy Kimmel's ex-girlfriend, Sarah Silverman.
Oh, boy.
How'd that go over?
Yikes.
It was pretty funny, actually.
Really?
I think Sarah Silverman's very funny.
And, oh, I love her.
Yeah. They had gone together for 5 years, and at one point, Matt Damon says, "Now, and we've talked for a few minutes. Is there anything you'd like to say to Jimmy Kimmel?" And she looks over at him and goes, I'm good. That's it.
So did they let him go?
Well, at the end of the night, after Sheryl Crow performed her new song, it was the first time she'd done this new single of hers called Easy, she performed that, and Matt Damon and all the other stars kind of gather around, and they're saying goodnight, and Jimmy's still in the chair, still taped up to it, and Matt Damon goes, you know what, it is the end of the show. Jimmy, is there anything you want to say? Oh, sorry, we're out of time. And that was the end of the show. I thought it was very, very clever, and helped Kimmel be number one last night.
Oh, I bet. Crushed
in the ratings.
Wow.
The problem for Kimmel is he's got to come back tonight, and he'll have some people tuning in who don't normally watch the show but may have watched last night. But you can't do a stunt like that every night or every week or even
every
month.
Where's Matt Damon? Where's Andy Garcia?
Yeah.
I think it'll be the first time in late-night talk show history where the host has been on the show but not said a word and still come in number one in the ratings.
That's pretty good.
That is not easy to do. So that was pretty funny. And there are clips, of course, all over the internet today. A couple of other things on my desktop here today. If you lose your cell phone on vacation in Las Vegas, do not go to Wayne Dobson's house to get it back. If you have an iPhone, you may know about the app called Find My iPhone.
Yeah.
Where if you lose it, you can then go to another computer and log into your Apple account, and it uses GPS to tell you where your phone is, and you can not just locate it, but if you want, you can like make it ring. Like maybe you left it somewhere in your house and you don't know where it is, you can make it
under
ring.
Under the cushion, yeah.
Or you left it at somebody else's house, and they can find it. Or you know maybe you left it in a restaurant, they can answer it and tell you. Also, remotely, you can erase the phone. So whoever finds your phone can't use it at all. And all of your contacts and personal information and other stuff that you may have in there would be completely erased. I think that's a pretty good function. But the other part of it is that there's a GPS thing that tells you where your phone actually is. Well, not just for iPhones, but for other smartphones. For some reason, in North Las Vegas, if you do that, it shows you this guy Wayne Dobson's house as the location of your phone. Wayne Dobson, over the last 2 years, has been inundated on a regular basis by people coming to his house at all hours of the night saying, I want my phone back. They think he stole their phone or found their phone or whatever it is. It's also affecting police who have twice been wrongly directed to his house on domestic violence calls.
Oh, no.
For some reason, whatever it is that triangulates cell phone information in North Las Vegas is sending people to this guy's house. He is 59 years old. He's retired. He has gotten so sick of this that he now sleeps by the front door. So he doesn't have to get up in his bedroom, come down the stairs and answer these things, because people come by at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, pounding on the door. One day he said he woke up early at about 6 o'clock in the morning and saw people looking in his kitchen window. And he shouted at them, "I don't have your cell phone!"
And they left.
And they didn't even say anything. No, no, they came to the door and they confronted him. Well, yes, you do. It happened. "Please give me my phone. I have pictures of my grandchildren," one woman said. "I can't replace them. I need them." "Hey, lady, I don't have your phone." So finally, the police decided we better help this guy because, you know, especially if we're being called there and it's an erroneous address. Turns out all these people have phones from Sprint.
Uh-oh.
And it's only Sprint. You could have AT&T or Verizon or U.S. Cellular or some other provider, and you would never get this. But for some reason, the Sprint system in North Las Vegas points people to this guy's house. Now, they have not figured out why, and I don't know why he doesn't. Well, what could he do? It's not like he can change his phone number. It's not his phone that's causing the problem, but they have a glitch in the system that takes people to his house almost every week, and it's been going on for 2 years.
Wow.
That's over 100 people who have gone to this guy's house looking for their phone. That would just, you know, at a certain point, I would do what he did. And this is my favorite part of the story. He now has a sign up on the front and side of his house. A big sign that says, "I don't have your cell phone." And explaining underneath, there's a glitch in the system, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That doesn't stop people. They still come by. They still think he has it. It's 4:59 at the Big 550 KTRS.
One of the big problems we've had on the highways, and it still continues, is on north and southbound 170 at Forest Park Parkway. The left lane is down in each direction as they repair the median wall. Northbound traffic backed up to 64. Southbound traffic, you're jammed back to Olive. And on westbound 64, stop at O'Kings Highway through McCausland, 270 through Mason. We have westbound 70 stacking up between 270 and the Blanchette Bridge. And southbound 55, you're running slow from Arsenal down through Potomac. And this traffic report brought to you by Hollywood Casino St. Louis. There's no place like Hollywood. Just take 370 or the Page extension and miss all the construction hassles for the easy way to Hollywood Casino St. Louis. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Desk, I'm Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Thanks to Don for telling me the other celebrity with Matt Damon last night was Reese Witherspoon. We're going to break for the 5 o'clock news, then come back and play the Harris Challenge. Don't call yet. You got about 15 minutes. But this will be your first chance to play in a week. And we come back right after the 5 o'clock news here on the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon Friday edition on KTRS St. Louis.
From ABC News.